I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts. In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalais, Anton Bettis with you this morning. We will be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Starting out the hour, Ton, and wanted to really talk about what are the best things you can do to prepare your soil for your flower beds and your vegetable gardens. And first, let me start with Is there a difference between what you do for a vegetable garden and what you would do for your flower beds?
There's some minor differences, but the important thing would be to make sure that if they're existing, that they have organic matter, some sort of compost. Mm-hmm. So in a perennial bed where you don't want to till because you would kill your perennials, you would just put down an inch or two of mulch or compost over the top of the soil. Where that meets the soil, soil microorganisms will start to break it down. It takes a little longer, but it will work its way into the soil. But in a garden area to where the soil is bare, as long as it's the right time of year and the soil is dry enough, you can go ahead and till that compost into the garden. Our horticulturist Sheridan Hansen taught vegetables this week for Master Gardeners, talked mm-hmm. about she likes to till in the spring because that's when she's going to plant her vegetables and it's easier to work the soil.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So both of them need that organic matter, but how you incorporate them can vary a bit. Now, in your perennial beds and your flower beds where you just have bare soil, one thing to do would be, if it's just bare soil, is to get a rake or a spade of some sort, and you can work the organic matter in just really lightly in those areas so you don't disturb roots too much. But that would be the main difference.
Right now is an appropriate time, correct?
It is, as long as the soil is not too wet.
That's my next question. How do we decide if our soil is dry enough?
If you take a shovel out and say you dig into your soil and then turn the dirt over to get it off of the shovel, if you have a lot of the dirt stick to the shovel, and I'm not just talking a little film, but if you have a lot of it stick, it's too wet. And so the way I know it's time to work the soil with a shovel or with a rototiller is when there's still soil moisture, but when I dig, it doesn't really stick to my soil or into my shovel. Because if it sticks to your shovel, it will also stick to your rototiller, and you're going to really run amok as far as ruining your soil structure.
Right. You talked about organic matter. How much organic matter should we be adding?
1 inch will maintain the soil as is. And so if you're happy with the soil, 1 inch will be enough. If you need to improve, then 2 to 3 inches will be what you would work in. Now, in your perennial beds, you would maybe only use 1 inch or 2, and that will get into the soil, and you would just keep adding. And what you can also do in your perennial beds, especially after you've torn your annuals out, so your flower beds, after the annuals are torn out, is you can use 1 inch or 2 in the fall and then put 1 inch or so down in the spring.
Is there a concern about leaving it on top and not mixing it through?
No. Nope. Okay. As long as you're not in a really windy area, some of our compost are fairly their ground to small bits. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a really high wind area, especially if it dries out, those have a tendency to blow in the wind. And so you may need to work those into the soil. But for 90% of our areas, it's fine to just leave those on the surface in the flower beds and let them break down naturally into the soil.
Right. My only question would be, if you were planting seeds, would the seeds do well if they weren't, if it wasn't a better mixture of soil and organic material?
Well, if you're planting seeds, those need to be, the compost needs to be worked into the soil for the most part. And you can plant your seeds, and what you would do, let's say those seeds are really small and they're near the soil surface, is you'd use some peat moss or potting soil or a really finely ground compost and put a quarter to a third of an inch over the top of the soil to hold some of the moisture in.
Okay. Any other recommendations to really improve our soil?
Well, if you have perennial weeds that are still there, so things like thistles or dandelions, both of those can be dug out. And if you can get the majority of the roots, you can usually get rid of them. And so any weed control you can do before you plant, you know, within reason is also good.
All right. Before we take a break, let's go to our caller who's been waiting on the line. Caitlin is in Sandy. Good morning, Caitlin. How can we help you this morning?
Hi. So I started some pea plants in my house, in like a tray, mm-hmm. last week. And they are already outgrowing the tray. And my plan was to work in some compost into my soil this weekend and get them outside because they can tolerate fairly cold temperatures. And then it snowed. So now I'm looking for a backup plan because it looks like it's going to snow quite a bit in the next week or so. And I'm trying to decide, will they be okay if I get them outside sometime on one of the drier days, or should I just look for a bed, like a bigger container?
Well, peas don't transplant really well. And so we generally recommend direct sowing seed into the garden.
Uh-huh.
And so you may not have a whole lot of luck, especially if they're overgrown. So what I would recommend doing if you want to transplant is get something like peat pots or something that you just set the entire thing into the garden very gently so that you don't disturb mm-hmm. the roots, because those peas could be transplanted, but you would have to just treat them ever so gently so that you, if you ruin those roots at all, the plants will die. And that's why when you go to the garden center this time of year, you rarely to never find pea or bean mm-hmm. sprouts to plant, just because they just really don't transplant well. And so what I've done in the past is I've gotten the paper pots that are just, and you can find these in different forms. They're either be pressed peat or paper. And when I've started peas, I've started them in those. And then sometime late March, early April, I will just lift that entire thing, and I might get a really sharp knife and just gently score the edges so the roots can break out a little more easily.
Mm-hmm.
But I just gently set those into my hole and press the soil around them, and I'll have 80 or 90% success with that. But if you have to pull the transplants out, then it becomes a little more difficult, you know, if you're pulling them out of a container
right.
to put into the soil.
So they're in those little pressed peat discs, actually.
Oh, wonderful.
That's good. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And so what
yeah,
I would do is just, if they're getting mm-hmm. overgrown, if you want to try to salvage them, try to find some that are at least double the size at a garden uh-huh. center that are also that decomposable material, and bump them up into that. And then in a couple mm-hmm. of weeks, when they're a little warmer, go ahead and just put those out into your garden.
Okay, I will try that.
If you
Thank
went,
you.
If you did try to put them out now, have you done anything uh-huh. to harden them?
No.
Okay, because the other step to this is that those little pea plants, even though they are hardy, if they've been in your home kind of luxuriating in this Hawaii-type climate where it's never cold, they could take a lot of damage because they're not adjusted. And so what you would start doing is putting those peas outside when we're 45 or 50 degrees and then bringing them in, maybe putting them in the garage at night to get them accustomed to lower temperatures for a week or so before you set them out anyway, because they are a cool season crop. But if you take them from the even 70 to 75 degree temperatures from our home out to 45 during the day and 29 at night, I think they could take some damage.
Okay. I will start doing that.
All okay. right. Caitlin, good luck to you. Speaking of warmer climates, Ton, we have Colin Fryer with Red Cliffs Lodge in Moab with us right now. And Colin, a lot of us are looking for those warmer temperatures. We're getting excited about spring and summer. And tell us about Red Cliffs.
Well, it's great to have you let us talk a little bit about Red Cliffs and Moab in particular. You know, we're down here just 3.5 hours from Salt Lake, but it's like a whole nother world. We've got warm desert air usually. We're also having a little bit of spring showers ourselves today. But at Red Cliffs, you're right on the banks of the Colorado River. We're 110 rooms on 220 acres. So we're naturally social distanced. I guess you could say we were social distancing before it was popular. All of our rooms
have a good type of social distancing, right?
Yeah, exactly, because every one of the rooms has a private patio that, you know, you can sit out in your underwear if you want to in the morning and feel secure. It's that private, individual HVAC, no common hallways. And I'm proud to report that we received the AAA Excellence in Housekeeping Award, which only the top 2% of all the hotel motels in the world get. So you can know that you've got a really clean and safe environment down here. And then once you get checked in, there's lots of things to do.
For all ages, right? Not just for
all ages.
Yeah. Tell us about what's going on down there.
Well, the national parks are open. You know, you've got Canyonlands and Arches National Park, as well as Dead Horse Point. Here at the ranch, you can ride one of our horses. We've got Jeep trails, bike trails, hiking trails. People are even running the river already. So there's lots of things to do. And then the main thing is when you get done with all your adventure during the day, you come back to Red Cliffs and enjoy a nice meal in our terrace dining room overlooking the Colorado River.
Well, Colin, we are excited to hear about Red Cliffs. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. We need to tell people, boy, such a quick ride, 3.5 hours from Salt Lake. Check out the amenities, things to do at 435-259-2002 for amazing specials, or you can go online at redcliffslodge.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Our next listener, Ton, is asking you to make some comments on middle leader gardening method. They would like to try it, and they live in Orem.
Oh, so it's probably mitt-leader.
Mitt-leader.
Yeah,
okay.
Or mitt-lighter sometimes.
All right.
It's just a gardening method that you is designed to allow you to be really flexible on creating raised bed gardens. You're supposed to, in essence, be able to garden on top of cement if you can create enough soil. And the components that go into it could be rice hulls, sawdust, ground wood. You know, it's designed so that originally, I believe the history on it was that it was supposed to be something that could be used in poorer areas that don't have great soil. So like Haiti, areas of Africa, that would allow people to garden. And how you get nutrients to the plants growing in these nutrient poor mixes, because the mixes provide drainage and just an anchor area for roots to anchor into, would be a complete fertilizer. And there's a few local vendors, IFA and maybe Steve Regan sells mitt leader fertilizer, but I think it's fine. It's a way that you can garden. You know, personally, would I want to use it? If I've got a decent soil and an ability to work the soil a little bit, no, I'm not going to, because I can grow a garden and for less expensively in my garden soil, but that's not what Mintleader was intended for.
I still had a pruning on my brain.
Yeah.
Mintleader, sorry about that.
Yeah, and so where you would use it maybe is if you have, you know, let's say you're in a condo with maybe just a little bit of a back porch, or you have extremely salty soil. In situations like that, it would be useful. But you can also just do raised beds with raised bed mix. And so I guess I'm not criticizing the method for what it's intended to do, but for me, there's a lot easier ways to garden if you have the resources to do it. And so it is not my first choice if I have a garden in my backyard, or even if I'm making raised beds, because we have commercial raised bed mixes we can purchase. You can make your own out of sandy soil and compost. The Mintleader is like a plan D or a plan E for me if I just don't have any other choices.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We have Colleen in Taylorsville. Good morning, Colleen. What is your question?
Good morning. We have a small garden in our backyard. We've been here 35 years or so, and it has just quit producing very much in spite of putting quite a bit of stuff into it. So this year we put in some alpaca fertilizer, shall we call it, and the farmer said that we could plant directly in it. We put it on in the fall, and I'm wondering, can we plant it in or should we spade it in a little?
Don't plant in that. It is manure, and it's not a soil. And so it definitely needs to be worked into the soil. Now, sitting all winter, any salt in there, which I think is pretty low salt, would have leached through. But, I mean, it's like, what's left over right now is someone's like almost telling you to plant into sawdust. And so, excuse me, work it into the soil 6 inches deep, and it may help, you know, just because it's from an alpaca, it doesn't mean that it's like a miracle product. There aren't like these magical flying alpacas pooping out magic to make your soil better, you know? And so it will help possibly, but if your garden doesn't perform this year, what I would do is soil testing through USU or BYU so that if you're deficient in anything, you would know.
I did a self soil test last year, and the thing I was deficient in was nitrogen.
Well, and you're always deficient in nitrogen because it's so mobile in the soil. It just flushes out really quickly. And so if you tested for sufficient levels of phosphorus and potassium, there may be something else going on. So when you garden, are you rotating your crops every year?
As much as I can. I have about four rows. Rotate them.
You know. Okay. And so there's other things that I would still consider having maybe Utah State University or another soil lab do a professional level test just to make sure there's nothing going on, because it would give you second confirmation. And then from there, you may switch up your crops you're growing for a year or two. Some other things you might consider that may help a bit are putting in a cover crop in late fall that would come up, and you would till it under and put it in the spring. A lot of times, if everything in the garden is struggling, it's more of a soil problem or a disease problem, and, you know, or management somewhere. And I'm not saying that you're inexperienced gardeners, but we've got to do some investigation. And I don't think the addition of that alpaca manure or any other compost type product will just single-handedly make things better. It could have just been last year or a number of other factors.
All right, Colleen, thank you so much for your call this morning. We do have Colin Fryer with Red Cliffs Lodge in Moab on the line with us this morning. And Colin, we're excited to talk to you because it's so much warmer down in Moab, but you're only like 3.5 hours away.
That's right, and it's exciting to be on the radio with you guys and let everybody know about Moab and especially Red Cliffs Lodge. Yeah, you made a good point. It's only 3.5 hours away, and it's a pretty easy drive, and you can always break it in half, stop at Price for a sandwich or a pit stop. Anyway, when you get to Red Cliffs, we're 220-acre working ranch, 110 rooms, so lots of wide open spaces, private entrances, private outdoor patios, and we've received the AAA Excellence in Housekeeping, which only 2% of all the properties in the world get, so we're pretty proud of that. And, of course, once you get checked in and you get settled in, there's lots to do around here. The two national parks, Arches and Canyonlands, are open. Dead Horse Point is always a big deal to see. And then there's jeeping, biking, hiking. People are even running the river already. And right here at Red Cliffs, you can ride one of our horses.
And I understand you also have a sweet deal for folks.
We do. We're offering a preseason deal, $100 off. I have to tell you, they've been going fast, so Check in as soon as you can, yeah.
So, and the easiest way for folks to get a hold of you is, first of all, on your website, right? They can find out, they can see how scenic this area is, and all they need to do is go to redcliffslodge.com.
Absolutely, and they'll see some pictures. There's a live cam on there, so you can see just what it looks like right now. Also, some pretty dynamic pictures of the scenery around here. If you haven't ever been to Moab before, and Red Cliffs especially, it's like a lodge at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. If you can picture that.
All right, and folks can also call 435-259-2002. Let me give you that number again for Red Cliffs Lodge, 435-259-2002, or you can go online at redcliffslodge.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.